So, over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge. And I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge. So, lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period. But the whole thing is now based in video. So you can listen slash watch, and every day for 7 days, we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. I have a returning guest for you today. The goal behind the returning guest and, the sort of the series that we're doing with this is getting some stories now from people who have been recovered for, significant periods of time. Year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, like getting them in there. We've been doing this like show since 2020. It's now 2024. So there's all kinds of lengths of time that women have been recovered that we know them personally.
So I wanted to get a few of them on the show because a lot of the anxieties that we have when we go through this process is just like, what does the future look like? Am I going to be sad and unhappy forever? What are the challenges? What are the wins? Like, what can I expect and what's reasonable to expect? So I just wanted to get some people on and just like have a chat about how it's going. So welcome back to the show, Christina.
Thank you for having me.
Love it. While I actually look up what number episode yours was, so people might can be like, go and listen back for context. Will you just like reintroduce yourself, where you are, how long you had had HA, went on all that stuff, if you remember?
Okay. Yes, I think I can remember most of it. I first got HA December of 2018. And then I recovered in 2022. I started like quasi recovery when COVID happened, so March 2020. But then it took me till July of 22 to fully recover. And then I've been recovered for 2 years this July.
2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And so her episode was 205. It's called That's How Shitty Shit Got. Do you remember that?
I do remember. It got really shitty. Yeah.
That's how shitty shit got with Christina. So, yeah. So definitely go back. Like, if you haven't, pause this, scroll there, read that if you want the context. But yeah. So it's been a while. My first question is, how is tracking your cycle for you? Like, what's it? Do you do that still? Or do you have a pulse on it more now than you did? And how does it like play a role in your life these days?
Okay, I do still track temps in my cycle. I'm thinking I'm going to start moving away from temps just because it has been 2 years and I feel like I can start trusting my body a little bit more. But it has been good to, when I've started to reintroduce different exercises and to see what happens through each cycle. So I've noticed sometimes my follicular phase might get a little bit longer and I've been running more. So I kind of like, okay, kind of tweak some things and I'll kind of pull back and then things will get back on track. My cycles have been pretty regular between 27 and 32 day cycles. I still ovulate around day 16 to my latest was day 21, and that one was a long one for me, but I had just started like really running like multiple times per week, and I was still training like weightlifting. So, and I also started another two jobs, so I was working two jobs and got really stressed. So that month was a longer cycle, but it's been good to see and how to like, I guess I can't be flexible and kind of adapt to what's going on in my cycle while I've been tracking temps and my period. That's kind of how I've been using it.
Well, and how, because I remember like back in the day, and this is for most people, there's like a bit of an emotional investment in how, like in the tracking process and how things are going and if it's going well. And like, it can feel intense, but what's your relationship with all of that now?
I feel like I don't have a emotional attachment to like the number. If the number is lower, I'm not like, oh, beating myself up or anything like that. Or with my problem is when it's getting so long to like ovulation is where I'm starting to like get in my head a little bit more. And I feel that's where I've kind of put a little bit more control as before it was like food and exercise and now it's still temping. So that's why I'm thinking I need to relinquish a little bit of the control over that temping has over me because I need to realize that my body's 2 years out. Like my period is going to come. I'm going to ovulate. I've maybe only had one unovulatory cycle in 2 years. So she knows what she's doing. I just need to trust myself instead of relying on external sources. So that's where I kind of get hung up.
There still can be moments for you of like, even though it's been 2 years, of like, is it going to do it this time?
100%. I feel like it's better, but I still, when it gets creeping up to like day 14, day 15, and I haven't really seen much cervical fluid, and I'm like, what is going on? And then my temp doesn't spike on day 17. I'm like, what is happening? So then I get in my head, and then it just doesn't help. So And I just have to know my body knows what she's doing, and it always mm-hmm. comes, and I always ovulate. So I just need to put less stress on my mental self for it. And I don't know why.
Like,
2 years, you'd think, yeah. But I think it's just I moved it from food and weighing my food and weighing myself and exercising to the thermometer or checking for mucus.
Do you manually temp still?
I do.
I mean, you could move to you could move to a device at this point. If you stopped the temping and then there was a part of you that was like, but did I ovulate? Or, you know, is trying to avoid pregnancy, you know, or something like that. And just kind of you're like, well, maybe I do need a little bit more control in this. For someone like you, where you're at like a temp drop or an aura ring or something is perfect. And then you only need to look at it like every few days when it mm-hmm. matters. If you even want to, you're like, if I Fair. Want to know where I'm at, it's there, but you don't have to go and look at it.
Right. And I feel good on the days that I don't do it. It does not impact how my day is. So I know it's something that I can easily let go of. And I've let go of so much. I let go of weighing food. I let go of weighing myself. I let go of double exercising. So
great segue. How's that?
Oh, great. I love being 2 years out. Introducing new forms of activity has also been really nice. I tried Pilates for the first time with the reformer. Wasn't sure how I was going to like it, but I've been only strictly like weightlifting, and it was a great change. So I think that's something I'm going to add into my, I'm going to do strength training 3 days a week so I can incorporate other modalities if I want to. And I did it one time. It was hard as it was different. And it was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
So remind me, your workout history used to be pretty much weights.
Weights and spin. So I would do like almost like CrossFit style class and then spin. Sometimes spin twice a day, three times when I was really got it, but I'd always spin and then do like a CrossFit style class. So I'd spin and do that. So I'd do 2 days. So
great.
And sometimes I would also circuit just 2 CrossFit classes a day. Yeah, it got to be a lot. So I cut my strength training down to get my period back. And then I just cut my strength training down again because I'm doing a run in September, doing 28 kilometers with a friend, because I used to run marathons, half marathons all the time. So I figured I'd give it a shot. And that's another thing I found out is that now I don't love running distance running as much as I did previously. So it's nice to really listen to my body that way and be like, maybe I'm not a distance runner anymore because I'm not loving it. 2 hour runs aren't my jam anymore. So I
what
found
do you think
that
that's
out.
About just like you just got over it, or do you think like there's just a difference in your goals and what you care, you value now that affects that?
I think it's more that, like, I don't it, and also it wasn't that hard. I was a lot slimmer now. Trying to move more weight is also exhausting. So I'm way healthier now. I'm a lot slower now and a bit heavier than I was when I had HA. So moving that extra weight is tougher. So it's like a grind, when before it used to be like, no problem. Like my pace is so slow, but I like doing smaller bits, 5-10 kilometers, but I tried to do 19 the other day and I think I walked most of it because I was like, this is torture.
Right. Okay. So yeah, there's a part of it's like, well, I'm not good at it now. And so,
yeah. And I just don't have the same love for it, I guess.
I feel that same way about Olympic lifting, where like for 13 years, I was like, this is my number one priority.
Hmm.
And like, if someone, I was thinking about the other day, like, cause I have this back issue I've been working on for a long, long time. And I just think I pretty much have backed off squatting. Like I just don't squat. Like there's things I just need to let go of for a long time now to let it heal. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like if I had that back issue back then and experts or whoever, or even just like loved ones suggested to me that I should not lift anymore, like it would have been a non-option. And it's interesting now to observe myself being like, okay, I'll just do other things.
That's how I feel about running, because it would have been, I would have ran with a stress fracture for sure, because I loved it that much. And I was getting pretty good, like my time was pretty fast. But now, just, I was really excited to sign up for the half marathon with my friend. And we signed up a year ago, so I'm doing it, but it's going to be a lot of walking. Still going to do it. Well, we paid a lot of money for the the run
People
in the mountains.
Signing up for marathons a year in advance?
Oh, yeah. They usually fill up pretty good. This one's going to be beautiful. It's in southern Alberta. Really beautiful mountains around like the kind of Banffy area, Waterton area. So it's going to be beautiful. So I'm looking forward to that scenery. Not exactly looking forward to doing it, but...
Well, I mean, you go run a whole bunch if you want to. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like kind of like hiking.
Yeah. I do like hiking, though. Hiking is my jam. Still something at low impact, but running, I found that's one thing that's nice about recovery is that I tried these different things that I used to love, and I'm like, no, it's not something I love anymore. And I've adapted and I've kind of gone with it. I was excited to add it back.
Training for running.
I've tried to increase my distance. It's hard. It sucks.
But like, I am trying to train.
Yeah, exactly. Trying, which hasn't been going well. I haven't ran in like 3 weeks. I just don't want to do it, Danny. So that's a huge flag for me too. I'm like, I just don't want to do it. So obviously, maybe it's just not a love of mine anymore. And I'm okay with it. That's one thing. I'm okay with it. So.
Yeah. So this is something that a lot of people fear. So let's like pause on this, right? It's actually like a discomfort to let go of our exercise because we fear that we will turn out like this and we won't want to do it anymore. And if we don't want to do it, we all have a bunch of fears and stories that are attached to what it means to be somebody who just like doesn't really want to.
Fair. You don't want to be classified lazy, right?
Lazy or just like a normal, regular, non-athletic person.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A knob.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, there's concerns. I think like when we get to the bottom of articulating the fear, it's like, yeah, I don't want to because I will then be seen as this way and maybe even my body will change and I'll like... It's just a whole world that I've worked relentlessly to avoid, right?
Yes.
So for some people hearing you be like, I'm okay with it, it's good, is in many ways going to be a relief, but in some ways also will strike some fear into some people who are currently in the process. So I don't know, for you, got some dogs visiting you?
Yeah.
Just yeah. Okay.
Somewhere.
Bless it. Oh, hi. For many people listening, it will be okay, but like, are you actually okay with that? But like, are you actually happy?
I am.
So can
you
speak more to like what life is like?
It's almost freeing to realize that I didn't love it as much as I thought I did, because I just kept pushing myself. And if it's something I knew that I loved, I would have not been hating it. So I realized the time when I was trying to 19 kilometers, that's when I was like, my heart's not in it anymore. And I just don't feel the same love for it. And I was sad at first, because I mean, it was such a huge part of my life for several years. Like I had a goal, do 10 half marathons by the time I'm 40. I've way surpassed that. I've done so, so, so many. And I loved it at that time in my life. But... And it feels good to let it go. It felt really good actually acknowledging that I don't love it. Like I wanted to love it, and then validating that, no, maybe I don't love it. I have different things I want to do, or like adding in different modes of training, modalities of exercise, like trying Pilates, which was a lot of fun and I enjoyed it. So it's something I'm going to continue doing because it's bringing, can you hear them?
Not really. No.
Okay. Sorry,
because they're right up the microphone now. I hear like a little bit, but like you could honestly probably ignore them and it would be not an issue.
Okay. Okay, I'll do my best. It's hard to ignore them when they're right
But
there.
they would come and sit right next to you to do that, to like
Yes,
play.
exactly. I don't even remember where I was. Mishi can edit this out, right?
No, she's useless, but that's okay.
I just
I
lost my
could,
train
but I worry about it. It kind of sounds a little bit like there's like a Chewbacca. It's like,
of Yes, exactly. She's they're like mouthing each other.
yeah, they're playing dogs. Well, you were
Dogs, yeah.
saying that it's just, I'm kind of hearing like a free, like a freedom for you, right? Like it was almost like a relief. Like we're telling ourselves, like, I have this responsibility. I have to do this. I have this pressure. And then suddenly, kind of, it's maybe not as sudden. It's still progressive, but like eventually it's not there. And there's actually like a whole bunch of space created for you.
That is a great way to put it. The freedom, I guess, was a perfect wording, because realizing that I don't love it and acknowledging that I don't love it was definitely a freeing moment for me. And just they're distracting me.
Okay.
It was
They're not bothering me or anyone listening at all. I promise you.
very freeing
It's so
and
my it's so minimal.
so much.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's freeing. And I had like a follow-up for you on that I think I had that I think our distractions made me lose. Oh yeah. So some people will feel like, it turns out like I actually hated this and I was making myself do it. And then there's also going to be people who are listening going like, no, I love the thing, right? Like I felt like I love the thing. You couldn't convince me that I actually hated weightlifting. I hated the amount of pressure I had on myself and I hated how frequently and how often I was doing it. And I hated how my body was breaking down because of it, but I didn't hate the sport itself. So like, my relationship with the sport itself really needed to change, and like how I was going to fuel myself to do the sport if I was going to do it.
I realized it when I stopped training, or when I completely kind of stopped during COVID there. Spin. You wouldn't have convinced me otherwise that I loved spin. Spin was like my ride or die. I will always love spin. After when COVID happened and all the studios kind of shut down, not a chance in hell will you ever see me back in a spin studio. I have no interest in doing spin whatsoever. Absolutely despise it. Don't think I'll ever step back in a studio. And I would have said the same for running. So I did try. I ran for, what is my computer doing? Ran for quite some time. And then it's just been increasing the distance that I realized that I don't like running as much. I think I like you said, I think I just like the short distances. Anything longer than 10, no interest. I'm not going to get PRs anymore. No, I'm very slow. And it's torture. It doesn't bring
Yeah, what's
enjoyment.
interesting, like I have started going to like a regular like Planet Fitness gym, and that's the what which is like cable machines and stuff that I thought I would never in a million years do.
And do you like
Like
it?
not interested, totally boring, like just looks like so monotonous and ineffective and all this stuff. But I like actually kind of enjoy the process of going there now, and like you have a little routine and it's peaceful, there's no pressure on any of it. It's like it's easy, and maybe it's just like a getting older thing too, I don't know, where we're just like ready for things to just kind of be easy.
Fair enough.
Okay.
And then no pressure. I think you saying no pressure was great, because I always, even when I was running, I felt the pressure to run, because you have the pressure to be fast. Because in the running community, it's all about your speed. So that's another thing.
Yes.
No, I've no interest in being fast. I only started doing distances because it's cool to say, hey, I ran 21 kilometers. But like, but other than
Yeah, you know,
that.
competition is not a healthy place for someone in recovery.
Exactly. This is true. I mean, when I was had HA, it was like I loved competition, because of course I'm going to be the best at everything and I'm going to get all the points and do all the things. But yeah, no, not definitely not. No, if I was trying to recover, you're so right. I don't think you can recover
Yeah.
trying to be competitive. I had to let go of so much things to recover.
Yeah. So proud of you.
Yeah.
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580. Hey, did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist
Yes.
and an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. It doesn't have to
So,
be painful.
no, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So, if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to the hasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yep, we look forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that
Yeah,
one?
I do like that
Okay.
one. That one's way more us.
Yeah, boom. There you go. Okay. So you had to let go of a whole lot of things. It sounds like you didn't necessarily run back to all of those things either and pick them up. Like you went super slow about it. Some running and things have come back into your life, but they've come back in a very different way and for very different reasons. So, how does it feel, or what's it like to kind of approach all these things in a like it's almost like you wipe the slate clean, fresh canvas. Let me reapproach exercise and sports and things from a completely different perspective. I'm hearing like no, there's no pressure, blah, blah. I mean, but and that it's freeing. But is there anything else to it? Like, how's that?
One thing I've noticed with recovery, I was able to like train and exercise while I was trying to recover. So I do feel lucky, and not everyone has the opportunity to continue weightlifting or doing any types of training while they're recovering. So I was doing 3 days a week while I was trying to recover, and that and very minimal, not really lifting too heavy. And then outside of recovery, I did increase my exercises because I felt like I wanted to. And I would, like I said, just monitor how my cycle was going. And even just adding in running, I just find like thinking of exercise in a different way. I do it because I want to, not because I have to. And I do very, am very mindful on how it's going to impact my body. Essentially, I do make sure I'm fueling. That's one thing I completely changed, is always making sure I had some type of food. If I wasn't hungry at first, and I would listen to those. Now I'm also going to kind of sidebar, 2 years out, I feel like I listen to my hunger cues more, as opposed to that first year after recovery. I would eat. I always eat breakfast, but I would really make sure I was fueled before I trained or after I trained. You know what I mean? But now I've moved into this part, like where I listen to my hunger cues more. Today I did train, but I had ate just like breakfast. I don't know if this is good things to say, Danny. You know what I mean? I don't want to like
Because you're like, because basically what you're saying is like, you're able to kind of go back to doing things in a much less intentional way.
Yes, I guess
it's almost a little bit like, yeah,
I'm listening to my body more. I guess it's the same with exercise. I'm listening to what my body, what it wants, and how I want to train. And like, I realized like running wasn't how I wanted to train. Strength training, I cut my strength training 3 days a week so I could add in the running. So that's another thing I did. I just kind of adapted to where my training goals were at so I wouldn't overdo things. Never going to do 2-a-days. So even with the training for the half, I was never going to strength train and run in the same day. And then adding in the Pilates now, I'm probably only going to run 1 day a week, strength train the 3 and have Pilates, but always making sure I'm fueled either before or after. As like today, I ate a big, big, large breakfast and then trained at lunchtime and then ate after before we got on the call here. But that's one thing that's been nice, is just listening to my body instead of going on like a set thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Being told what to do.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
You can say those things because I think like it's honestly something that people kind of want to hear, right? Okay. Is that it's actually possible to not have to get to a point, right, where eventually you have enough resilience, your body is, because sometimes it's not even necessarily, because I'm the same way, right? And it's not necessarily that we're always listening to our body either. It's just that like life gets in the way. I don't have, you know, if I want to fit this in and that in, maybe I do the workout before lunch, blah, blah. Would I love to do it a different way? Yes. Did things get busy? Do I feel full still from breakfast, blah, blah. Turns out you can also sometimes go against, you know, best practice, quote unquote, and still ovulate because you have let yourself get to a place where you're fully healed. And that process takes time, right? Because even you remember, like, you get your first period, sometimes you don't get the second one. There's all these things you have to be, you do have to be intentional for a long time. But then one day you look up, it's 2 years later. And yeah, you can work out first thing in the morning or only have had breakfast and get away with it or whatever. And that is a comfort, right? That it is a temporary state.
Yes, fair enough. I just never want to say anything and like, I don't want to say trigger, but like, oh, I can do that. I don't want to, because it was way different beginning. Like definitely.
Way different.
Yes. Wouldn't have gotten away with it the way I can now. That's for sure. That's another thing, really learning how to trust. And that's why I figured with the temping, I probably could relieve some of that because I know my period's going to come. I know I'm going to ovulate. So why do I need to add that extra pressure and control over things, right?
Exactly. And so, you know now too, from enough experience and having stuck with the temping for 2 years, that like, you'll know, like there will be signs if things were to start going in the other direction.
Yeah.
That would prompt you to check in with that and pick that stuff back up.
And that's what happened to me. Not this cycle, the cycle before, when I picked up a little part-time job and then I added in extra running days. And I don't think I was feeling appropriately then. I just backed off my training. And then I really looked at it. I was like, it was definitely overthinking this really small part-time job that I was just putting so much stress on myself. And then I did. I just kind of like, didn't train for like 4 or 5 days. And then kind of things kind of, I still ovulated on day 21, which is still in the parameters of normal. So I stressed myself out, Danny, for absolutely no reason. I was like getting panicky and that doesn't help. Stressing about ovulating isn't going to make me ovulate. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, you're like, it's still a journey. And I mean, I lost a lot of weight over probably a 9-month period time now. So like relatively slowly, completely unintentionally, 100% unintentionally. I think I just like honestly got into more, like I just, everyone knows now I play so much pickleball now.
100%.
And so I've actually had a few people, like someone commented on YouTube because you see me in the video and they were just like, have you lost a bunch of weight? And then I had this feeling of like the community cannot, like, I'm not allowed. I even know like Ashley and Mishi were like, like super sus of me. So it's also funny to just be like in this position in this space and have some form of weight loss. And just for the record, all of you listening, I'm still bigger than any of you probably will ever be, just like to be clear. But it's just, you know, life goes on. And mm-hmm. while I'm still here, like running this community and talking about this stuff and helping people with this, these things, like, I don't know. I just like lost a bunch of weight over 9 months, just like after years of sitting at a weight.
But I also feel like your intentions. Like I know when I was training 2 days a week and stuff, it was to maintain that extremely lean body. So your intentions, you didn't, right? You didn't
100%.
You're not doing, you didn't do, yeah. You know what I'm saying, right? Yeah. You're not
exercising. And that's basically like the point I'm trying to make here is like where you now approach exercise from a different place.
100%.
It's all about fun. Mm-hmm. You no longer have an obsession with food. Your brain is not processing restriction is active and intentional.
Right. I had some friends visiting last week and she's always kind of struggled with her nutrition. And right now she's working with a lady and she's eating copious amounts of food, which is so different from what the other trainer she's done. And she was here and very food focused, like, and she's eating tons, like way more than I've ever seen her eat. But it's just nice to see that I don't have the same food focus. Like I come home and sometimes I don't even have supper planned. And I'm not going to lie, I'm like, I think I'm just going to have cereal.
Girl dinner. Yes.
Exactly.
I never thought I would have girl dinner. And I do it all the time where I'm like, well, I don't have anything in the fridge, but instead of getting stressed out about it or ordering something or going to the store, I'm going to make the most random hodgepodge mishmash of leftover food. And there was a time where my restriction and hunger was so intense that went, because that's the thing. It's like, I only get these meals.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry. So if I only get to eat X amount of calories a day and I'm starving, I will not have a subpar meal, right? It's 100%. Like an anxiety. And yes, you become attached to it. You almost have this like obsessive compulsion to have elaborate, perfect meals because you're so hungry and you think you're a foodie. You think like you just love food. No. Once you're in a fed state, food for the most part is a means to living your life.
Fair enough. I don't even have protein prepped in my fridge.
Me either.
I mean, like, that's like an unheard of. Like, I've just kind of gone, food is just not a forefront of my mind anymore. I don't know what I'm going to have half the time when I would know, like, if you listen to the previous one, I'd have like 3 weeks or 2 weeks planned out. I don't even remember now. Something crazy like that. I think it was 2 weeks. 2 weeks of dinners and meal, every meal actually.
It's possible to have the freedom to pick and choose your meals and even sometimes be lazy or lackadaisical about them mm-hmm. and continue to ovulate and be fertile. What you said, I think, is totally right. Like, it's about the intention. The mm-hmm. brain, the hypothalamus, is aware that restriction is present.
Yeah.
When it's playing a role in you not being bothered, you know, that's a different story. So I do think the intention is so important, and same with exercise. The intention for where food is coming from or not coming from, and where exercise is coming from or not coming from. But now, what's your relationship with your body? How do you feel like that's still going?
Hit and miss. Mm-hmm. Still a work in progress.
I mean, but same, that's the thing. Like, right, like I lost this weight and I still feel like I have body image issues. It never ends. Mm-hmm. So sorry to cut you off, but I just like want you to
being a woman, I think generally our body image issues are going to be paramount of being a lady, but I feel like it's better. I saw some pictures. My friend posted some stuff from when I was like deep in HA, and I was like seeing them. There's no desire to ever be back there. And I can just tell I look healthier. My hair's, I get compliments on my hair all the time. I mean, don't judge it now, Danny. It looks terrible, but my hair is so much healthier than it was. My skin's so much healthier. I feel better. I looked at the photos and before I used to be like, why has my face become so round? But then seeing those photos of it just so almost gaunt, I feel like reflecting on how I am now, I'm in a much better place. much better mentally, especially, and just physically. I mean, of course, I'm not where I'd want to be, but that's always a work in progress. And I do feel like as I'm not controlling my food or my exercise, things are going to happen when it wants to happen. And I'll settle where it wants to settle without pushing my body into either one way or the other.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that's like a philosophy or decision that you're going to land on for the foreseeable future?
I'm hoping so, because like seeing my friend just worry all about her food, even though she's eating, and I want to say she's stressed, she's probably eating more than most of the people in this community are. Like, she's eating a ton, but I never want to have to like worry and plan out everything and be like, I have to hit 150 grams of protein. I don't want to do that. I really don't.
Yeah, maybe not.
I completely stopped tracking last year.
It's nice to just be intuitive about it, isn't mm-hmm. it? Like a few cycles ago, I had some really bad like low progesterone symptoms. Like my boobs were super sore. I forget all the other things, but just like I just had these ample clues, and I had already noticed that I wasn't eating a lot of protein, because like it can be hard mm-hmm. to get a lot of protein in when you're not concentrating on it.
And you don't have it prepped in your fridge.
You haven't gone to buy meat. Also, like, it's just expensive.
Yeah.
So I just find myself kind of like, I just was gravitating to what was convenient, all that stuff. And I knew like, I'm getting a nice little reminder that protein is important. And I upped that without doing anything else, without tracking anything additional. I just became 10% more intentional about it.
Mm-hmm. And that's how it came with my exercise when I did kind of have a late ovulation. For me, it just was mindful. Okay, maybe I'm running too much, or maybe I'm not feeling enough for the exercise I was doing. So I just kind of made those tweaks and seeing how my next cycle goes. And one thing with recovery, I've been able to, my friend gave me a sourdough starter, and I make sourdough bread now, which unheard of.
Bless it.
Unheard of. Back in 2020, especially. Unheard of.
And you can just eat it. And you can just eat it because you want it. Like, doesn't matter how much of it you had, and you don't die.
No, funny enough, I mean, a loaf wouldn't have lasted, because I would have probably ate it so fast in 2020 because I was so starved for carbs. But I tried to have a piece just before a call. I went to cut it and it was moldy. And I was like, my bread's already. Like,
I know. So- yeah. Then you get stressed because it doesn't last and you're like, I need to eat more of it. But then when you eat enough so that you don't waste it, you're like, I'm eating way too much.
So I was just surprised. Like, my husband and I let a loaf of sourdough bread go moldy. So, and that, like I said, unheard of. And it's nice to have. Because that's another thing. I always hear people, I can't have that food in the house, and I can't have that food in the house. And I would have said that maybe even 2 years ago. But I can have M&M peanuts, which are my favorite things in the world, bags of them everywhere, and I don't feel the need to eat them.
Yes.
Three bags of chips upstairs.
I can have like a whole chocolate box or a bar or something, and like I will eat it every day because it's in the house, but I won't eat it all in one sitting.
No.
It's amazing. Like, amazing. I'm still to this day just like, this is so cool. Worth it. It's so cool. It feels so good.
So worth it. I mean, I couldn't have peanut butter. I remember opening jars of peanut butter and then eating a couple spoonfuls and throwing the jars away because I would be like, I couldn't have it in the house. Mm-hmm. I have, so amazing. That's one thing. That's the food freedom that's come with recovery is almost better than adding in the exercise. Food freedom is just the best.
Yeah. Love it's it. So hard to quantify and truly explain to people. Like, trust me, you'll like it. It feels good. You're not worried about it anymore. You feel free.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But like when you're someone at the very beginning of an HA type of, like, you're still in your HA, like low estrogen brain, you're like, no, The lack of discipline that you are describing sounds freaking awful.
It sounds terrifying. But it's like that sense of control you have is just so intoxicating that, you wouldn't have been able to tell me that. I'm like, you're crazy. Because I love tracking my macros. I love weighing my meat. Yeah, not a chance. I love opening my Fitness Pal and seeing my streak of 1,100 days or something ridiculous like that.
100%. And I remember too being in the macro tracking space, and people who were pro that, like macro coaches and stuff, would be like, oh, macro tracking has created freedom for me. Now I'm not going to die on the hill of that's bullshit. Because maybe there is another group of people who, like, we don't understand quite as well as we do our type of people.
Fair.
Like, maybe there are people who just, like, they can't eat enough, or, like, they just, I'm not going to understand it. It's just they're not my people. But it is interesting to hear other, you know, the other side where they're like, no, it created freedom for myself. I'm like, did it create freedom, or did it just create guidelines for you that were black and white, and you just like understand that better? But over time, for a lot of people, it creates neuroses. And for some people, it doesn't.
It definitely for me did. Oh, I do feel like it's a good way, a teaching tool. So someone could like figure out how much, like, as long as you, like, ooh, my laptop's done. It'd be good for, you know, you don't need to have your whole plate full of bacon. You should add in some other protein source or some carb. But other than that, I don't think.
You're right. Because it is even easier to coach people who have tracked macros into recovery, because they understand what you're saying when you say you need something that has protein, carbs, and fat. And like, when you're trying to describe how to build a plate, like, they actually have the knowledge to hear it. It's definitely not a bad thing to have tried and to learn from. And I'm very grateful for that. And I think it makes us better as practitioners too, because we have that experience. But yeah, like, it's definitely not a path for freedom.
No. And it doesn't help when you're in recovery to track your macros.
No.
I do think, like you said, when you're trying to teach your girls that have never tracked macros with HA, it would be tougher for sure. I could see that though. So almost teaching them, but then is that counter? How does that work, Danny? Teaching someone? Because then I'd be afraid.
Life's not black and white, right? There's no like, this is inherently bad and this is inherently good. It's like, you know, macro tracking is neutral. And then we start attaching meaning to all the things that happen, right? But here's all the ways that it can be helpful. So when I say you need to add more fat because you've tracked, you know that that means olive oil or avocado or nuts or something.
Yeah.
And so that's some of the really, really good things that came out of it, like you were saying. But then just getting people to see how like they were just were attaching too much emotion or too much meaning. Like, if I hit my macros, I am good. If I go over my macros, I am bad. Now that's unhelpful and that's a problem.
Yes. Okay.
It's like, it's all nuance. It's nuance. And we open our eyes to it. Because like, I truly, truly, genuinely believed when I went over my macros, I was bad. Like, I was not doing a good job. I was not like a picture perfect female that like
100%
is aspirational.
Those numbers were like a solid line for me. If I went over them, I was like, I'm gonna gain weight. That was my problem.
You failed. Yeah. You're bad. You're not good at this. You're not ever gonna be good at this. You're not blah 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 blah. And like, that's where the anxiety, you know, starts seeping in for us. And it's like, you start, you know, every single day and every single meal is now like connected to whether or not you are succeeding or failing. And then yes, we build this neurosis around it that need not be there. But macro tracking in and of itself is helpful because you know what's in your food, but that might be where it ends.
I feel like that is where it should end. And it's not a thing that you should be used forever and long-term. And a lot of times people do use it. Like I used it for 4 years and then I did sporadically use it throughout, but haven't done it in a very long time.
I worked with a woman who had like a 1000 day MyFitnessPal streak.
Oh yeah. I did too. I think I was like 1100.
Wow. She never, ever didn't hit her numbers. And I remember like people would look at her as like highly disciplined in all these great ways. But from what I knew of her as a colleague in like on the same like leadership level, I also saw that she was highly anxious. She would often kind of like, not often, but occasionally like once a year in like a team sharing thing, you know, like I don't have any friends. I don't have any relationships. I'm so self-conscious. I'm judgmental of others. And it's like, wow. Okay. Hang on. I'm connecting the dots here that like you know, you have a 1000 day perfect MyFitnessPal score and you do appear to be judgmental of people who don't know how to do things with the level of discipline that you know how to do them with. But I'm also hearing like, you're not happy.
I think when you start controlling your food to that extent of that HAers know, you generally aren't happy. Or controlling all aspects of your life, you're not really happy. Like if I look back, I was just existing. I wasn't really living.
So and I for feel people who are listening to go like, no, I am happier. Okay. Like I hear you. Are you happier or are you just in control?
In control, because that feels safe. You feel safe.
Yeah. You can, like, you're just everything in control. And like, what is that connected to for you? Right. And like so much compassion, because it probably is connected to some pretty serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like that need to have control and safety. And like, this is the only way you can have it. And now these people on this podcast or wherever you're getting your information from are like telling you to let go of your safety.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I have a lot of respect for the fact that that's extraordinarily difficult for some people.
And it is. But if you do it once, it shows your brain you are going to survive and you're fine. And then you do it more than once and then it just gets easier.
It actually just gets easier. And eventually you're like, oh,
yeah,
whatever.
Like, I can't. Like, I love my friend so much, but I just can't even imagine going back and having so food focused. And that's one thing macro tracking does, is it makes you hyper aware of all foods and what is in all food. It's just, it has its usefulness.
All food becomes approved or unapproved.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
Safe, not safe, good, bad. Like you lose the ability to have neutral ground for food.
Yes. Because macro tracking, I think, inherently just kind of gives you, yeah. So I do understand uses for it. But I think we are the ones that end up taking it too far for sure. We put the value on it. But didn't help me.
Christina, this was so helpful. Thank you for just like randomly talking about different aspects of this with me. Okay.
I'm hoping that like you got edit some of the stuff, especially the dogs barking and then me asking you to edit.
Yeah, maybe.
I would.
Sidebar, I'm not particularly well known for being bothered to go and edit the show, but I'll try for you.
I would love to go to that your guys' retreat in Zion, but that's my weekend. I'm running in the mountains, so just remember that.
Is it really? Yeah,
it is.
We need to plan the next one. We do need to plan the next one. So maybe we'll hit you up or for the scouting trip too.
Yeah, Jasper, you guys, Jasper just burnt. We had some devastating fires. Oh, Jasper's are one of the big national parks here in Canada. So part of the Rocky Mountains, the whole little town, little mountain village.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But Jasper's beautiful, but Banff is more beautiful.
I need to try. Yeah, like, see, we need to maybe international.
Yeah.
Okay.
Canada's just like a hop, skip, and a jump. Like,
yeah.
Like on the same side, same landmass.
I mean, you're not wrong. Yeah. You're not wrong. Like, I'm definitely going to be doing some kind of connecting flight and then.
Yeah.
Jumping.
I will come as long as you're within Alberta, okay. Even BC. If you go to like the Maritimes, that's really far for me.
Alberta or BC. Okay, guys. Yeah. Y'all keep Don't an go. Eye out for an Alberta BC retreat on the website. Because if it's on there, Christina's probably going to be there.
I will 100% be there.
Love it.
And another
amazing.
Thing,
this was so good.
Yes, It was great. Okay, hopefully it was had some useful
off.
Tips.
I cut you off. What were you going to say?
I was also going to say, my husband and I are going to Bali in October.
Oh, so that's a trip. That's a ways away.
It's a really long way, and I'm not a greatest flyer, so I'm a little nervous.
What is it, like 16 hours?
It's not that far. Well, it's three different flights, but the longest is from Vancouver to Taiwan. Not looking forward to it. And especially because my TikTok algorithm must know I'm not excited for it and keep seeing stuff about planes.
Yeah. Here's how we survive our long-haul flights. I'll tell you all how I survive my annual trip from Texas to Australia, which is like a 15-hour flight with an additional one somewhere. I take an antihistamine and I go to sleep.
Oh, do you get first class or business class, or you just go economy?
Great question. So I've actually never flown business class or anything like that there. So you need to take, like, I'm popping antihistamines.
Okay.
On these flights.
Take some Benadryl.
I don't know. It was, my mom was just like, oh, that's what I do. And so I did it. Puts me to sleep in the uncomfortable neck position. You know what I mean?
Yeah. 100%.
But I did get like a certain type of credit card that like is just dedicated to getting flight points. Gotta say, it's been amazing so far. Many, like every flight I've had a complimentary upgrade. So I'm really like, but what I'm really pushing for is like for just once a year, please just let me fly home in business class. I can't do this. I can't do this every year for the rest of my life. It's like not, no. I can't. So I'm pushing for that and we'll see how it goes and hopefully going forward, I am at least business class. Bare minimum, can I have the fancy economy, please, with the extra leg room?
Yes, that's all I hope for.
But yeah, that's what I would do, honestly. Just put yourself to sleep the best you can. For the love of all that is good. Yes.
And I won't have it. I'll just have my husband with me. Not like you had your toddler, so.
I couldn't. Yeah, I think I still did it on that flight.
Did you?
Because I knew she would fall asleep at some point. And so as soon as she did, I just popped one and took the risk that she'd wake me up to do something and I'd just do it really drowsy. But like, it's worth it.
They can still wake you up if you've got Benadryl, right?
Yeah, yeah. I can still be, you can be woken up constantly, but you'll fall right back asleep.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, yeah. You're not like actually tranquilizing yourself.
No, fair enough.
Just like, it just like puts you into like a mega sleepy state that you can just fall asleep.
I would appreciate that. Well, thanks for that tips.
No, I'll probably leave that in the episode.
Well, long haul flights, everyone's been on them.
Yeah. Interested in what strategies you guys use? Let us know. Otherwise, thank you so much, Christina. I hope you have an amazing weekend.
Thank you.
It is Friday night, the time that we're recording this. So thanks for hanging out with me. I'll see you soon. I'll probably see you in Canada.
Yes. I'm going to hold you to
Great.
It.
Okay.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So TempDrop itself is a wearable fertility monitor, and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm, and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are, and that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the temp drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the temp drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place, and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So TempDrop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, TempDrop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the TempDrop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now, and the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day, and I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society. Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
Most weight loss plans are one size fits all, not taking into account each person's individual needs. Noom is here to change that. Noom Weight uses psychology. That's why they say losing weight starts with your brain, but it also takes into account your unique biological factors, which also affect weight loss success. The program helps you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have cravings. Everyone's journey is different, so your daily lessons are personalized to you and your goals. One of the great things about Noom is that it's nourishing instead of restrictive. They focus on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything for that matter. Have cravings? Food FOMO? Noom can help you lose weight while still enjoying your favorite foods. To date, Noom has helped more than 5.2 million people lose weight. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com.